Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Welcome to the Sports Media Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Deitch. My producer's Patrick Antonetti. Three guests this week. I've been looking forward to doing this for a while. Anybody who listens to this podcast knows that I covered women's basketball for a long time and have a great interest in the nexus of women's basketball and sports media. And we have three student journalists on this podcast who have covered Caitlin Clark in the University of Iowa all season. They are probably, if you sort of want to think about all the people who have written about or covered Caitlin Clark this year, they have probably sort of spent more time around that team than I would think almost any other reporter, maybe with the exception of some of the, you know, local beat reporters like the Des Moines Register and stuff like that. So we have Kenna Roaring. She is the sports editor for the Daily Iowan. She is a junior. We'll ask her where she's from. We have Colin Votzmeyer. He is a assistant sports editor. He's also a junior as well. Again, assistant sports editor for the Daily Iowan. And Cooper Worth, who is the pregame reporter for the women's basketball team, as well as covers football. He is a senior. And Kenna, Colin, and Cooper, welcome to the Sports Media Podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I've had more elegant intros, guys, because, you know, usually, like, I like the people who I've had on, like, I probably have seen them on television or read their work. So if that wasn't clean enough, I apologize. All right. So let's let the audience sort of get to know just a little bit about you. I'll start with you, Kenna. As I mentioned, you're the sports editor of what is a very, very prestigious college newspaper, the Daily Iowan. Where are you from? And just give them a sense of like just your background in terms of like your interest in sports and maybe your interest specifically in women's basketball.
Yeah. So I'm from West Des Moines. It's about 2 hours away from Iowa City. I grew up around sports. My dad's been a football and baseball coach basically my whole life. So that's kind of where I got into sports. And then as I got older, I realized that I love writing. So that's kind of how I got into sports journalism. But I went to Waukee High School, which is actually about 10 minutes away from where Caitlin Clark went to high school. My dad had her in class and taught her younger brother in class. So I've watched her throughout her whole high school career. So that's been pretty cool just to see, you know, where she was in high school to now. I don't think anyone, I knew she was good, but I don't think we would have anticipated how big she's gotten.
What did your dad teach her in?
He teaches psychology and AP psych.
What class? Was she in AP psych?
I'm not totally sure.
That's fine. All right. So it's interesting. All right. So rival school. So you got a chance to see her up close. All right. Cooper Worth, I will go to you. You are the pregame reporter for the women's basketball team and the football team. So where are you from and how did you get interested in ultimately wanting to join the Daily Iowan?
Yes, so I'm from Knoxville, Iowa. It's about 2 hours south of Iowa City. And kind of I grew up playing sports most of my life, grew up from a family of sports fans. And as my time kind of dwindled down in high school and I came time to retire, I obviously had a passion for writing and come from a family of writers and journalists. So when it came time to went to the university, joined the Daily Iowan, worked as a news reporter for a couple of years, was the news editor. And now for my, for the senior year, I joined to join the sports team and cover some, I got the chance to stumble across the women's beat. And, it's been exciting ever since. I'm from like an hour from Des Moines. So I heard about Caitlin growing up. There was, I think she played, they played some like state tournament games at my high school. So like, I saw her once, during then. So, it's kind of been interesting to see her. I won't say meteoric rise, but like, it's, everyone knew about her like in Iowa and kind of locally, but now it's at this scale. So it's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's been certainly, even this year in particular, it's been a rocket ship. Colin Watzmeyer, you are a junior at the University of Iowa. You're an assistant sports editor. So where are you from and how did you get involved in the student newspaper?
So I'm from Mount Prospect, Illinois, which is about 25-30 minutes northwest of the city of Chicago. Just kind of the same story. I played a handful of sports growing up, and when I was a kid, I remember I would watch like the Cubs games and try and like write my own like scores and recaps on them. And so that was kind of like my foray into journalism. But I came to Iowa wanting to actually like write movies. That's what I wanted to do. And that was not very feasible because I figured that not many people get out of college and go straight to that. So I switched to journalism. I figured it'd look good on a resume if I joined the Daily Iowan. So I did that. And I was a news reporter for a semester, joined sports second semester. And I covered track and field for a little bit, maybe a couple of weeks. And then the two editors, Chris Werner and Chloe Peterson, sat me down and said, last year, we need someone to cover women's basketball. And so I was like, okay, like, I know this is like a pretty big sport. I don't know much about it, but, or as it pertains to Iowa. But I played basketball when I was in high school. Like, it's always kind of been my major sport. And so, I hopped onto that and I was, lucky enough to cover a Final Four, national championship run team for the rest of the semester in my first semester with the sports section. So, stuck with it this year and now Cooper and I are both doing it.
All right. I appreciate that background. Let me go to you, Kenna. I'm going to ask you, a broad question here. And the background of it is this year in particular, it's not that Caitlin Clark wasn't a known entity in sports, but what we've seen over the last 12 months has been game changing. It probably, if there was sort of the rocket fuel, it was probably the title game where, nearly 10 million people watched that game on ESPN. Largest women's basketball, women's college basketball audience ever by, by a ton. And so then this year, she has been a national figure. When you're getting women's basketball talked about on like the debate shows and stuff like that, where, she's doing a Good Morning America interview, I think this week, like we're just dealing with a different kind of level of star. So for you, what has it been like covering her and has your thought process had to change this year because of how much interest there's been on her?
Yeah, I think I have had to shift my mindset a lot. We're doing a lot more just as a sports section, a lot more pre-writing. At the very beginning of the season, we knew she had a chance to at least break Kelsey Plum's record. So we started like a record tracker. We have a whole tab on our website, a Caitlin Clark tab on our website, which is just something so cool and unique. I mean, I've watched Iowa sports since I was little. I've gone to football games and wrestling meets since I was little, and we've had some great athletes come through. I mean, Spencer Lee, we've even had the past few years in men's basketball and women's basketball, had National Player of the Years, but there's no one that has made this big of an impact than Caitlin Clark. And you just, I mean, it's just so different. The lines to games, the mob of people that want her autograph or after the games when she's walking into the tunnel. Like, it's something I've never seen before. And you kind of really have to she's amazing on TV, but you really have to come see her in person to like realize how special she is.
Cooper, as the pregame reporter, do you have to sort of navigate like how much you focus on her versus how much you're sort of focusing on the like the team itself?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to like times to write the recap of a story, I mean, it's hard not to just say like what she did and like mention her stats. And yeah, so there's a couple times this season where it's been like the main focus of like a recap story has been around her, but it's also nice to like when other players have good games and you give them the attention to. But I kind of come into like a press conference or whatever. I know a lot of the questions are going to be geared or centered towards her. And so I kind of like, I'll go in and maybe ask something about this player or someone else on the team to kind of broaden it out a little bit.
And what about you, Colin? You said, if I'm correct about this, that you covered the team last year, right? So you would have a sense of, you know, from covering the team last year to this year, how have you seen the difference just in terms of, let's use the word magnitude?
Yeah, I got to see kind of the when the season picked back up, I guess, for my second semester, so the last two thirds of the season and then through the postseason. And I think from home game, especially, you start to see, okay, like this team is picking up some traction. I remember the final game against Indiana where Kitlin hit that buzzer beater. The place was packed and it was like, okay, wow. Like walking in the arena, Carver Hawkeye Arena, and you say, okay, wow, like this is next level in terms of magnitude. This year, that's been every single game. So it's been, you know, they could play Illinois, a 500 level team, and it'll be packed and people will scream every time she hits a three. I think that's just the norm now, this season, based on last year. And I think that what we see with, you know, especially when the games are high stakes, it just blows it out of the water. So the Michigan game where she was going to break the record, the Kelsey Plum's record, the Ohio State game, that was a huge game. And then even just the away games, the magnitude is just that much higher now. So I think last year kind of set the bar toward the end of the season. This year it made it the expectation. And it's just each and every time something huge happens, it gets crazier and crazier. It makes you kind of question, you know, how high can this go?
This would be for any of you. If you know, I can see you, the audience can't, so you can put your hand up if you sort of have some thoughts on this. But can you give me a sense of like what kind of access you get, one, to the team, and then specifically what kind of access you get to her? Who wants to take that one? Kenny, you want to take that? I see you shaking your head, and then I'll go to you, Colin.
You know, her freshman, sophomore, junior year, even though I wasn't with the paper, her first couple years playing, I mean, it was pretty easy to talk to her. And now I feel like there's just so many national outlets that are trying to reach her. And you know, the SIDs, they do their best, but they are just getting emails all the time. I think they said there was 300 credentialed media members at the Ohio State game where she broke Maravich's record. This season, the access to her has definitely gotten a lot harder. We've tried to have her on our podcast. That didn't happen. She's just too busy. So I think the only people I really see her get one-on-one stuff with is people like Good Morning America or those really big outlets that are doing like a huge story on her. Luckily, I mean, we go to press conferences each week, so we get to talk to Bluder, and Clark is usually there, but there's also some other players. But it's definitely easier to talk to the other players than Caitlin.
How do you see it, Colin?
I think Kenna put it pretty well. I think the access, I can't speak for years before, but I do think the access to Caitlin has definitely decreased just because of how prominent she is. We emailed Bailey, who is the sports information director, like Kenna said, we wanted her on the podcast, And then I think we tried it even like a couple of times. He was like, yeah, I just can't grant that request. She's got way too much going on. But as for the other, as for the rest of the team, it's nice because it's one of those things where, like, you know, if they, if the players and the coaches, such as, in general, if they see, you know, Cooper and I there on a Friday morning at, what was it, like 9 a.m., right, Cooper, something like that, 9:15 in the morning, before class, at media, asking questions, getting this content out, you know, you start to get that respect, and they'll answer those questions for you. You can have those conversations. It's just one of those things where you got to put the effort in. But again, it's also one of those things where we're truly kind of blessed as reporters to be able to have that credential and be able to get that insider contact with them, because someone who's coming in for a single credentialed game, you know, won't get that. Like, for example, we had Cooper and I were covering, I don't remember what game it was, Cooper, it might've been Nebraska, but there was like a question asked about like what Caitlin listens to before the game, after the press conference over, and someone went up to her and said, what do you listen to pregame? And Caitlin was like, don't listen to music, swear to God, walked away. Just impossible. If you don't put in your time, you're not, you don't earn your stripes, you know. It's tough.
Cooper, that's actually pretty interesting. You're welcome to sort of add to these guys, but my question for you is, again, as someone who sort of covered this stuff, is I know that Iowa's a, you know, we're talking about a Big Ten school, so there's really, really good athletes on campus, and obviously the football team is a pretty known football team. That said, again, you can make the argument that Caitlin Clark is the most known college basketball player, independent of gender, in the country right now. And I would sort of make an argument, it's probably, outside of the pros, one of the, you know, more known athletes now in the United States. So what is it like for her on campus from your perspective as a reporter? Can one be a regular student with that kind of sort of spotlight, or is that just not the case? Or, I don't mean to be answering my own question, but because Iowa has other great athletes in wrestling and football and stuff like that, you know, you just blend in just because, you know, that's sort of what the campus is.
Yeah, frankly, no, I don't think she, I don't think she could probably blend in on campus. I mean, I feel like I'm around, I walk to and from class and, kind of see, and, but yeah, I think if I saw her, if she was around, there'd be videos of it, of her, oh, it's Caitlin Clark walking the class or something.
Students just pulling out their phone and taking videos of her.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen anything like this, but yeah, I mean, when she, like after she broke the record against Michigan, the scoring record for Kelsey Plums, she went out, they went out that night to the bars or whatever, and
as college kids will do, Cooper.
Yeah, exactly. And so yeah, there was videos of like, oh, Caitlin Clark and is here, and that kind of made a big deal. So yeah, I mean, I don't, to answer your question, I don't think she, it'd be different if she walked by. I mean, because it's just like, I mean, you see people, or you see students here with like the shirts and the jerseys and everything. So it's, I think it, yeah, I think it's different for sure.
Did you, Colin, did you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, I just wanted to add just one little thing. So we play basketball all the time at the rec. And I think it was like 2 years ago, she played like one of my friends, Patrick, there. Like she was like, she would just come and run and just try and, you know, get in and bust ass, for lack of a better word. Now she couldn't do that. We haven't seen her there. I saw her, I think last year, walking by, actually by the journalism building, with like her hood up, like a huge jacket. You could barely see her face. And I haven't seen her in public since then.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's absolutely a fishbowl. Ken, I'll go back to you here. You have the Big Ten tournament coming up. We're taping this prior to that, right before that. And then the NCAA tournament is coming up. You probably have a plan at this point for the NCAA tournament. What's the sort of plan as a sports editor in terms of how you want to allocate your writers in terms of covering her and that team?
Yeah. So we will, more than likely, we're going to host the NCAA tournament, obviously. So we actually decided this year that we're going to do a pregame edition. So basically for during football season, before every single football game, we have a whole like separate newspaper with features and just games around the Big Ten, Q&As, different stuff like that. So we are going to do a separate newspaper like that for the NCAA tournament. It'll have, you know, the bracket. It'll have the bracket in it, a little bit about each of the teams that are going to be in Iowa City, a feature, a story about where people can go in Iowa City to watch the game, you know, good bars to go to. So a lot of little stuff like that. And a lot of like the sports section will write that, but we also get some help from like news reporters and stuff, because I think that's more of something. So we wanted to do a story on like the economic impact that the NCAA tournament could bring to the Iowa City area. So that's more of like something a news reporter might do. But for most of us, I feel like it's us three that take on like the bigger stories surrounding women's basketball, especially Cooper and Colin. But this year, I think we've given a lot of reporters like different experience too, like some reporters that don't cover women's basketball at all have still been able to like go to a game and cover it. So, and I mean, it's just so popular. Everyone in the sports section, I think, could write about it if they needed to. So I'm really excited though. I think the newspaper is going to look really cool, and it's just something new that, you know, we haven't done. So I'm excited.
Ken, are you, will the three of you, you make the assumption they're going to win their first two games out of their region at home. Will you three of you go? Will the three of you then follow them wherever they are, or how will that work?
Yeah, I don't know if it probably won't be all three of us, but at least one or two of us will be there for however long they go in the tournament. We went to Seattle last year, Final Four. So yeah, it gets pretty crazy, especially with school going on, but it's
you have a travel budget for that though, in terms of if the games are, let's say, I don't know, you know, 1500 miles away.
Yeah, we're really lucky. I mean, we've traveled a lot more for women's basketball this year just in general, but we're super lucky at the DI. We get a lot of opportunities to go to away games, bowl games for football. I'm going to the Big Ten tournament this weekend for wrestling, and that's in Maryland, so you know, that's pretty far away. And so yeah, we're very lucky to be able to have all these opportunities and go see history being made in person all the time. So we will follow Iowa for however long they're in the tournament.
Colin, roughly, let's forget about the last couple games, because obviously there was so much national attention that you were going to have national reporters drop in there. But like at the beginning of the year for like, you know, game one or two or three at home, roughly what's the normal press corps? Like how many people would cover that team on a, on average before things have blown up lately?
Tough to give you a number. I'd have to do some math. I'd say maybe, I don't know, 15. Does that sound accurate, Cooper? Roughly 15.
Yeah, I'd say 15, kind of split between TV and print people.
Including you guys, right? You're part of that.
I'd say 15 to 20 max. If you take one of the earlier games, like the season opener, you could, you know, Cooper and I would show up 30 minutes before tip, go get a drink, sit down, you know, get our work done, and then we're in and out. Sit wherever we want, you know, chop it up with the people around us, the other writers that we know. Now, like the last handful of games, like Bailey, for the first time, at least in my time covering the team, Bailey's head to the sports information director's head to like send out emails for like protocol, seating charts. My seat for the Ohio State game, I was having a very difficult time, Cooper can attest, to getting out of my seat because it was so crammed.
Where were you? Were you on the floor or were you somewhere else?
We're all in the press row, which is, I don't know, maybe 15 rows up behind the home bench. So it's nice, but I mean, assigned seats, I can't put my backpack on the chair next to me and my jacket on the one to the left and then lean over and talk to Cooper. He's right next to me. And the person next to me is by someone I've never spoken to before, who's from, you know, the other side of the country. And that was completely new. That was, it was never like that.
Right. Yeah. No, that's welcome to the Caitlin Clark economy there.
Exactly.
Kenny, you had a, you want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say it's, as sports editor, I have to apply for credentials for every game that we go to, tournament or home away. And it's been a lot tougher to get access to those games too. Usually we've been pretty lucky. We at least get to send a photographer and one reporter, but for away games too, their SIDs are having to send out seating charts. And there's usually like, now there's like two rows of photographers on the floor. And it's just insane, but that's like one challenge too. I mean, I try to apply for games like a month and a half in advance, just so I can make sure that we even get in, because there's been a couple games where people, I think Colin was the only one who went to the Iowa UNI game, and that was at Northern Iowa, so not even super far away, but they didn't let us bring a videographer or a photographer or anything, because there was just too many requests, too many people. So that's part of it too. But I mean, it's just insane the amount of media attention that we get at home games.
I want to, Colin, you told me that your interests right now are going into criminal defense. So you're not heading to journalism, heading forward. So I'm going to stick with Cooper and Kenna on this because they want to. So Cooper, let me start with you. One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you guys today, because it was just interesting to me that there's a potential, I don't know where your careers will take you, but there's a potential that you are covering like the most famous or transcendent person that you will cover in sports as a college student. Now, again, maybe you guys will end up covering the next LeBron or Wembanyama or whoever. So that might not be the case. But the reality is you're covering a very unique athlete at the moment, just given that she is at the forefront of what's a really big women's sports explosion. And so I know you're young, but I wonder if you've just sort of thought about that, that like, you know, wow, like as a college student, you know, I am covering someone who at least at this moment, like has captured America's attention. That's a rare, even at colleges with great programs in different sports, do you feel like, I should ask it this way, do you feel like you're covering something unique or something like that's like a unicorn?
Oh yes. Yes, basically. I mean, I try to tell myself that this is, I mean, it's not, this isn't normal. It's not like this everywhere. And this is actually my first like year of sports reporting. So, I kind of, you know, since we cover the team pretty consistently we're going to games and going to press conferences, it can get kind of like mundane. I don't want to say that, but like, yeah, it's just regular, but then you kind of have to like remind yourself like, yeah, this is pretty special. And, I try not to take it for granted, I guess, kind of these experiences and following a player like Caitlin. And, that's Kenny, you can go.
Yeah, I would say the same. I mean, I feel like Caitlin said this a lot too, but I feel like we won't really, I know it's so unique and special, but I don't think I'll really realize it until like I'm out of college and I can kind of look back on her career and be like, I didn't just cover her, but like she was a student, even though she doesn't feel like she's a student, but you know, she's technically like my classmate. And I just feel very lucky to just like be where I am right now at the same time as her. And also, I think covering Caitlin right now as such young journalists will really help us in the future. I mean, I've had to write a lot more like breaking news stories, a lot more pre-writing and preparation, and then also just not getting as much access to her. We have to find different people to talk to and how to write a good story without directly speaking with her. So it's a really great experience, but something I definitely don't take for granted. And sometimes it's hard to really like comprehend what's going on, but I try to like take a step back anytime I'm at a game or anything and just like realize like where I am and how cool it is.
Yeah, that's I think that's a very good perspective. I'll give you one piece of advice that someone gave me a long, long time ago, and that's take a photo of yourself after the season is over on the court. You'll want that photo 20 years from now, which will be a pretty cool keepsake.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma is focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
A couple more things before I let you go. Kenna, as the sports editor, will you at least make, or maybe you already have, will you make an ask with the sports information department for before she leaves school, a one-on-one, if you can get it for the paper? Not necessarily for you, but for the paper.
I'm sure we will.
Your expectation of that request being granted is what?
Not awesome. especially because, you know, I don't know. If they make it to the Final Four, that's getting to like early April, and then the draft is so soon after that. So I don't know. I think it really depends on how far they go in the tournament too. But I mean, if we could either get her on the podcast or just talk to her one-on-one to get a story, I think it would be so cool. But like you said, there's not many other reporters who get to see the team and Caitlin as close as we do. So I feel like, I mean, hey, if they're going to let anyone talk to her one-on-one before she leaves, maybe it should be the students.
What is the podcast? Just so we give it some pub.
Yeah, it's called Pressbox Banter. We started it this year. It's usually me, Colin, and then another reporter, Matt, but Cooper's been on it a couple times. We basically just talk about past games in the beginning, and then we interview someone for each episode. So we've actually had Jan Jensen, the associate head coach for women's basketball. We've had a few different athletes from swimming, track, volleyball. So just very, very cool interviews that we've been able to do. And then the last part of it, we just kind of preview upcoming games and just talk about really any other sports topics that we want to. So that's been fun this year.
I'm gonna check that out. I'll get a free download from me once we're done with this.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, let's finish with this. Colin, I'll go to you. If I was going to ask you for your favorite moment of covering Caitlin Clark, what is it? I'm going to ask this of all you guys.
Oh man, that's tough. There's just been so many. My favorite moment it's gotta be the Kelsey Plum record. It's gotta be. The Indiana one was up there, the buzzer beater last year was up there. Pete Maravich was cool, but it was free throw, so it wasn't as electric. But the Kelsey Plum record, I was scrambling to edit Cooper's article and get it ready because I knew she was going to break it. Everyone was standing up because she was a couple of points away. She was one shot away, and I was mid-sentence, and I look up, and I just see her pull up, and the ball just going. Everyone holds their breath, and then it goes in. It was the loudest I think I've ever heard a stadium or an arena. And it was after that, it was just crazy. I remember I kept typing. I looked up and Cooper was like, yeah, she has 23 points in the first quarter. And I turned it on. I was like, she has what? 23 points in the first quarter. So that was definitely unlike anything else. She just came out on a tear and I don't think I'll ever forget that moment.
No, that's cool. Great memory there. Cooper.
Yeah. It's hard not to say the moments where she broke the record, but for me, I gotta say it'd probably be the it was even before the season started. The exhibition at Kinnick Stadium was really special. I mean, obviously that was the game that the highest attendance record in women's basketball history, and just I've going to games in Kinnick for football growing up. I never thought I would see a basketball game, let alone a women's basketball game, being there, and that was cool. And just being down on the we were right next to the court as the press were. And it was kind of cold. It was cold, honestly. So that wasn't the best. But yeah, I got to say that just whole moment of having the game at Kinnick, probably the one I won't forget.
Yeah, it was cool. That was cool. The visuals of that from where I watched was pretty awesome on TV. Warrior, what about you, Kenna? We'll end with you.
Yeah, I would also say her breaking the record, her shot against Indiana. There's just so many moments, but I think one of my favorite parts has just seeing like all the little kids, boys and girls, that are so crazy about her and make signs and wear her jerseys and that want to play basketball and take these crazy shots like she does. I think she's kind of shown every little kid that, they can do whatever they put their mind to. In her Good Morning America interview today, she said that when she was in second grade, she wrote down a goal and it was to get to the WNBA. So it's just crazy. She was a second grader dreaming about that. There's a lot of second graders who are now watching her and dreaming of the same thing. So it's kind of like a full circle moment, but just seeing the fans and the crowds that she draws is definitely been one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, that's why the seeing Lynette Woodard and Maya Moore there a couple of days ago was very, very cool. It was sort of like you can draw the generational line from Lynette to Maya and now Caitlin. And now, like you said, heading forward, we'll see 10 years from now who was watching Iowa basketball. And that led them ultimately to play hoops. Kenna Roaring is the sports editor of the Daily Iowan. She's a junior, so she'll be back in school next year. Colin Botsmeyer is the assistant sports editor of the Daily Iowan. He is a junior, so he'll be back next year. Eventually, if you need a criminal defense attorney, let's say 12 years from now, you'll look him up. Feel like he'll do you solid there. And Cooper Worth is a senior at Iowa. He's the pregame reporter for the women's basketball team, also covered football. Look for Cooper, at least people who listen to this podcast, look for Cooper and Kenna over the next couple of years. You can follow all these guys on Twitter, but they'll be heading into the field and you'll want to follow their work. I appreciate all of your time today. You've really had a pretty cool experience. I could just tell you objectively, the paper's really good. You all know this, that in the current media landscape, what you guys do is really important. There's just not many reporters left. And so you got an important job. You're not compensated for it nearly as much as you should be, but I really appreciate that you still have the passion for this. And just as a production or as a paper, it's really well done. It looks good, it reads well. So that's a real credit to the three of you. And I'll be reading your stuff over the next week. I'm excited. It's been amazing to see what Caitlin Clark has done for a sport that I have really great passion for and have been involved in for a long time. So thank you, Kenna. Thank you, Colin. Thank you, Cooper, for joining me today on the Sports Media Podcast.
Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Richard.
All right, back in the studio. My thanks to our Daily Iowan crew. That was really interesting. It's actually great to see that people still have a passion for for sports journalism in their 20s. Very, very tough field to enter. And so it's cool when you see that kind of passion because, you know, they know the realities of the business that they're walking into. And I wish them the absolute best of luck. If you like these kind of conversations, please leave us a 5-star review and a nice note. That is how this podcast continues. Recent guests include Peter King, Sue Bird, Andrew Marchand, my colleague of the Athletic, where we media nerded out. Jason Kirk on The Power of College Football and his new novel. Kristen Lapis, who directed Giannis's doc on Amazon. Kenny Smith, Noah Eagle. Again, head to the archives. There should be some stuff you like. I want to thank Patrick Antonetti for his hard work. Thanks to everybody at Odyssey for their support. And thank you for listening. We'll see you soon on the Sports Media Podcast.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League Podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.